The New Testament reading today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 48, and that is on page 91. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
Today we do a post-Easter dip into the Gospel of Luke. And you've heard me say over the past several weeks that much of the year we will be in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of Mark, but today we get this sneak peek into Luke's perspective on Jesus risen from the empty tomb. And so we continue to run with the disciples and recognize that Jesus is still risen, on the run. And apparently from this morning's text, he is famished. We enter today's story. It's a pretty famous story right before about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, you can recall two disciples, probably a husband and wife, wondering what in the world just happened in Jerusalem on the weekend. And then they meet with this stranger who talks with them, who warms their heart and eats with them. And in the midst of that eating encounter, while breaking bread, their eyes are opened to the resurrected Christ. And like many on that first Easter day, they start running. They run back to the disciples. They find the 11 disciples locked up, hidden behind doors. And Cleopas and his wife are probably banging on the door, wanting to tell them about this bread-breaking encounter. In verse 34, we read, "It is true," they cry out, "the Lord has risen." And since this is the first Easter, the disciples probably don't respond, "He's risen indeed," right? They're locked behind doors. They're kind of freaked out. They probably motion them and, "Get in here. What in the world are you talking about?" And in the midst of this harried and frantic conversation, the Lord enters through. And he says, "Peace be with you." So I hope you can imagine or try to put yourself into this room. What was the feeling? What was the emotion? What were the looks on the faces of these disciples? We read in verse 37 that they're startled. They're frightened. They're thinking that they're seeing a ghost. And Jesus' response is, "Listen, look, touch, and see." And then we come to verse 41, which I think is a great portal. It's a great opening in today's story for us. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. On Easter Sunday, I invited us to enter into the empty tomb story with Mary in her sadness. Mary Magdalene met the living Jesus not when she was on the top of her game, but when she was in the midst of her deepest sadness. Seems like these are the places where God shows up. The places of the margins, to the outsiders, to the downcast, to the needy, to the broken, to those who fail. And I would suspect that the mood amongst the 11 hiding out, locked up in some rented room in Jerusalem was probably one of failure. Laments like, what were we thinking? Or what's going on? What just happened? I thought Jesus was going to dot, dot, dot. And I think of the sons of Zebedee. Didn't Mom ask him if we could be on his right and his left when he entered into glory? And it was probably pretty quiet at different moments. Bread baking in an oven, broiled fish smelling up the place. And that's why I think verse 41 is written this way. Luke wants to let us know that Jesus wants to show up in the midst of failure. And when Jesus shows up, he doesn't assume that we'll quickly and instantly get our act together. Instead, we read, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. I think that should give us hope this morning. That's pretty inclusive language for all of us today. Jesus isn't waiting for us to attain to this level of perfect faith or perfect understanding before he calls us to companion with him. He'll take us even when we're disbelieving and wondering. And then verse 41 to 43, though they might not be meant to be comical, I think they are. In the midst of the joy, disbelief, and wondering, Jesus says, do you have anything to eat? Yes, I'm resurrected, but I'm hungry. Jesus so desires to companion with these disciples that he reveals his human longing to eat with them. This is not Jesus high and mighty saying, look at my resurrected body. I no longer hunger. I mock your hunger, in fact. Instead, he says, no, I want to be with you. I want to sup with you. And perhaps these disciples remembered Psalm 23. I'm glad that Carl brought it to our attention this morning. Psalm 23, the shepherding God who longs to be with us, who sets a table for us, even in the midst of those things that work as enemies against us. Jesus says, I am with you. And can you imagine this broiled fish conversation? Thomas looking at Jesus, trying to listen, but so distracted by the scars as Jesus picks up the fish or passes the bread. Or you think about Peter, who's still reeling from his denial of the Christ and wondering if Jesus is still mad at him and watching the risen Christ say, could you pass me some bread? And the heart of Jesus' message during this meal is, don't you get it? Everything that I said from the prophets, from the prayers of the Psalms, it's true. They were pointing to me. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, that the whole world might be saved through me. God is here. Yahweh is here. As you have seen the Father, you have seen me. I am with you. See? And verse 45, I hope, provides such a great image. And then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. And then he called them to be witnesses. Encounter with the living God moves us to be witnesses. And in verse 48, he names the disciples and us as witnesses. So I wonder, just how do you feel about your call to be witnesses? When you're named in this story as witnesses to these things, How do you feel? Do you self-describe as a witness? Does that conjure up good things in your mind? Witness. You are witnesses of these things. David Loos, one of the mentoring voices and preaching professors at Luther Seminary, and many of you know we're in this preaching project with Luther Seminary over the past 10 months. David Loos, one of those mentoring voices for us, writes in his blog this past week, and he talks about witnesses. He says, we witness all the time. We bear witness to things that are important to us. And so to wake you up this morning, I'm going to take David's challenge. He challenged us as congregations to take just a minute to think about how we witness to those things that are important to us. And not only to think about something, and it doesn't have to be about your faith or your spiritual life. Just think about something that's happened since, let's say, April 1st, so about 3 weeks. Something that's happened that you would say is important to you. Maybe you've seen a movie, maybe you've heard a story, maybe you've had an image, maybe you've had a conversation. Think about something that is important to you. And then, I'm going to wake you up here, we're going to take 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 20 seconds to turn to a neighbor and just share what that witness thing is. Just bear witness to it. And it can be just very simple. It might be a 5-second thing, like, I saw this great movie, it was called blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about it, and then we're going to do this 40-second, and I know this is hard on the introverts. The extroverts like this stuff, but the introverts are like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? So I'm going to invite you to do this. If you really don't feel comfortable looking at your neighbor or talking to that person who's in the pew beside you, we're Baptists. There's freedom here. But I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about something that you might bear witness to. And then I'm going to give you 40 seconds to have a 20-second one-person share while the other person listens. Don't say anything while they're listening. Don't say, yeah, I saw that one too. It was so cool, and here's what I liked about it. Because extroverts are really good at that. So 20 seconds just to listen, and then another 20 seconds for the other person to speak while you listen. So 30 seconds to think about it. I have my kitchen timer here. 30 seconds to think about it, starting now. And it can be as simple as this. I was thinking, I saw Chris at a McDonald's interview, and I looked at him. I was hiding out in the parking lot while he was talking to the manager. And I thought, another generation of burger flippers about to begin. It was a beautiful image in my imagination. So it can be as simple and ordinary as that, okay? So now you have 40 seconds. And at the 20-second mark, I'll tell you to switch. Start now. Okay. Now you need to switch. 20 seconds for the other person. Bing, 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 bing. All right, great. Thank you so much. So there it is. That's us bearing witness. You know, 210 people here bearing witness to things that are important to us. And so Jesus invites us to be witnesses. And so maybe even as we think about our journey as witnesses this week, maybe the simple question is, where have I seen God at work? And how might I bear witness to that? Where have I seen God at work? And how might I bear witness to that? Can you imagine 200 plus of us moving through the city this week, bearing witness to things that are important to us and also things that God might be revealing to us in our hearts, our minds, and our imagination? So whatever it takes for us to reflect or maybe respond to this exhortation from Jesus to be witnesses of these things. And so I'll close with this. I want to remind you again that Jesus isn't waiting for you to get it right or get it perfect. In that verse that we read in today's text, in the midst of this worshiping community of 11 disciples that is full of joy, that is full of disbelief, and that is full of wonder, Jesus says, "It is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all. You are witnesses of these things." I'll give you a quiet moment to allow this story to continue to remind you of what God is doing in our midst, in your journey of faith, in the work of the world. And then slowly respond, quietly respond to how might God lead us to be witnesses this week. Let's pray together. O living Christ, we humbly ask, we boldly ask that you would surprise us, that you'd find us, that you'd sup with us. Remind us of our holy vocation, this invitation to be joyful witnesses, even in the midst of our disbelief, even in the midst of our doubt, even in the midst of those places where we wonder where you are or how you're moving. Lord, in your mercy, because of your grace and kindness, bless us, these humble witnesses in this place. Amen.